Welcome to the Non-Dual Performer podcast. My name is Sam Katadia, and we're going to be discussing performance in all walks of life. And we hope that this podcast will develop your curiosity and your insight around what it means to perform well.
Hey, welcome back to the Non-Dual Performer podcast. I'm sitting here, Sam Katadia, and today we're going to be speaking about sports performance and drugs. So it's going to be a juicy topic, and there are so many different circumstances in sport where, you know, for example, if you're in pain, if you've broken something, then obviously you want a painkiller. And on the other side, using a performance enhancing drug in order to reach a certain achievement or be able to get relief from seeking or trying to get away from not feeling good enough within that field.
A lot of our podcasts can go a little bit deep around experiencing, and it's really nice to have this topic as an opportunity to bring it back to some real hard facts of reality. And you know, I like the phrase that the philosopher Sid Banks said when he said, "Life is a contact sport." And sport in its own right is a great sort of metaphor for life, that we have hard knocks, we have challenges, we experience a full spectrum of emotions in all different ways. There's an infinite field of experience certainly in our society. And often, let's take football, where I've done a lot of work, you know, there is a and athletics, there's a real temptation, certainly when athletes are in these, you know, high octane industries, there can become a need to obviously manage pain if you're suffering from injury, you know, like legal painkillers, to athletes that are on such a adrenaline high after a match, they need to go off and feel the desire to go off and do cocaine and engage in risky behaviors to keep that sort of those dopamine levels high. Their sport ultimately is a drug in many ways, because you're seeking in objects. You want to score goals, you want to get promoted, you want to build your career, you want to get us, you know, improve your wage, you want to compete, you want to win. Everything's very, very external in the sports world, and that's how sport is rewarded. No athlete gets, you know, a medal for effort in professional sport. It is unfortunately about winning, as much as non-dual you want to get about it. I made a, you know, career in professional sport helping players to win effectively, and I wouldn't have got paid if I, you know, the football club said, "Oh yeah, we love all this non-dual stuff, mate. You know, we all feel lovely, but we're losing loads of games, but yeah, we'll still keep paying you." It's just not going to happen. So it's a real tightrope, because you want your athletes to perform well, but you also don't want your athletes and your clients to see their well-being in that win. So, great example, so in the world of boxing, I do some work in boxing, particularly with a local charity in Bristol, and one of the themes we really bring into this culture at the boxing gym and for the charity with who we work with is this idea of the happiness myth. Tyson Fury, the heavyweight boxer, is a great illustrator of that. When, you know, he won the heavyweight championship of the world, he beat Klitschko in a really clever fight, tactically very astute, and got the better of his man. He kind of projected so much on getting to that pinnacle, getting to the heavyweight, winning the heavyweight championship of the world and unifying the belts. And it was a real big letdown for him because he got there and throughout all of his career had been encouraged to move towards that, like this was the ultimate, and really went off the rails after that from by all accounts. And I don't blame him, to be honest, because he, you know, like a lot of us in Western society, we've been spun a lie. The drug of sport presents this holy grail that when we get to the top, somehow we're going to, you know, be complete as a person and really find ourselves. And, you know, that desire to seek didn't go after he got that, won the heavyweight belt. So it wasn't, you know, the happiness was not in that achievement. And he, you know, from what I hear, was kind of went on a bit of a drug-fueled sort of craze that, you know, nearly cost him his life. And I think it was, from what I, again, what I infer is that when he had that collapse under the influence of all of these drugs and having won, you know, all the belts, there was a real moment of insight, like, you know, I'm where I need to be right now. I'm alive. I'm, you know, I know he's quite religious, Tyson Fury, you know, that God's being is here. And, you know, the way he's fighting now, he's not fighting like someone on drugs, that someone that needs it, that someone needs that fix. He's doing it for the love of the sport, and the way he holds himself now and his generosity in society, and, you know, just the way he interacts with people and lives quite a humble, normal life from what I see. He's enjoying himself because suddenly he's removed that drug-like pressure upon us. So I guess in this podcast there's two elements to sort of discuss. One, the inherent drug in sport, that when I get X, I'm suddenly going to be happier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always going to make you feel like you're on a drug.
That is a drug in itself.
That is a drug in itself, that when you get X, you will be happier. And all the sort of devices, when pro athletes aren't getting that kick, there is a desire to seek that kick in other activities. So it could be gambling, it could be sex, it could be drugs, it could be a whole manner of things.
Porn.
Whatever it is, because there's a calculated belief or a sense that, oh, I need to acquire X. And
and
really the point I want to make on that is it's never the object that the athletes are seeking. It's the relief from the object. It's the few moment when the athlete scores the goal. It's the few moment when the rugby player scores the try. It's the few moment when, you know, all the footballers are playing poker and they've just won 20 grand. Phew, I haven't lost 5K. And it's that few moment that is the drug, if you will. It's the relief of that immediate experience. And I can't stress that enough. It's not in the activity that's the drug. It's the relief from the seeking and the activity that we crave. We crave the collapse of seeking, so we can for a brief moment be relieved of our constant need to gratify ourselves in the objective world. And the other area in this topic is if someone says to me, well, what about an athlete that's in chronic pain, that's got is addicted to painkillers? Well, I don't think there's anything wrong in using substances in a practical way if it is connected with a practical reason to look after the instruments that athletes have to perform well.
Like if you've broken some bones in your foot, it's not it doesn't mean that you're seeking, if you're taking a painkiller just so you can walk normally. That is a practical application of a drug. I mean, unfortunately, that can lead to, for example, opioid addiction, and then it kind of spirals into something else. But if you're, you know, really dealing with something which makes it very hard to maneuver in life, then, you know, there isn't anything wrong with, you know,
no,
dealing with that.
There are no rules to this. I think you've just got to look at your intentions here. I think if the intention is ultimately to cope, resist experience, it could be pain, it could be trauma. If ultimately the motivation is to avoid our immediate experience, this is a big ask, but I'm certainly not there yet, but if we can live with suffering right now forever, then we know that we're not resisting that suffering.
Wow, that's really powerful.
I can't remember who said that. Probably Rupert Spira. I think referenced him so many times because I've just a fabulous sort of explorer and teacher. So I think if we can do that, and then it occurs to us that taking a painkiller or taking other remedies, great, go for it. But consider the motivation behind it. Is this resistance to now and what is, or is this, it just feels, do you feel quite light and free with your solution? Because, you know, even if you're on painkillers and it's so easy to substitute that solution with something else, and I'm sure there are other healthier solutions which, you know, I'd always explore, like, you know, CBD oil. Grace and Hart's got a fantastic company that provides that solution, and it's, you know, closer to the natural world. It's, you know, it's a natural compound from what I know. I don't know the ins and outs of its medicinal benefits, but clearly it helps. So I think there's definitely a practical movement towards more sustainable, healthier remedies for professional athletes. I still think there's space for inquiry to make sure we're not substituting like with like, that it's like, okay, am I using these painkillers because I deeply don't want to experience this now? Because what seems to show up is, I've found pain just shows up in different forms in different areas of your life until you're really prepared to be with it and shine a light on it. And that's just a hunch I have. Look to the motivation of your use of that drug. If it is grounded in practicality and it's well researched and ideally a natural tool, then, you know, go for it. Just be mindful that you want to try to challenge these coping mechanisms that we invite in our lives, because 9 times out of 10 they're not sustainable.
Yeah, and that's there's parallels with that, and I love bringing it back to the intention. There's parallels of that which go into all realms of action, inaction. Like, what is the intention there? Is it to practically move forward, or is it to try and seek some kind of well-being end state, which in itself is a drug? And
yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of conscious effort is that we see as goal setting or achievement or moving forward is a hijacking of the separate self that we talk a lot about in this channel. It's ultimately resistance in disguise. And I think the more we go out into the world thinking that, you know, not really calling out those interventions or activities or behaviors, not really calling them out, their true intent, we can kind of keep shape-shifting around and you know, hustling around the sort of conscious effort of goal setting and trying this, trying that remedy and seeking. And I'd invite you in, you know, if you're an athlete that is in pain or has some practical elements to consider, whether it's mind and body, try first to live with the experiencing that's happening now before you move towards or intervene or take up an action. See what arises, because you know decisions to take drugs can, you know, arise. There's nothing wrong with that. We live in a practical world, but again, is this a reaction to avoid now what is being experienced right now? Just as we get hooked on our phones, or we need to go on our mobile phones to see reassurance from all the likes we've got on Instagram.
That's a massive one.
Drug as well. I'm forgetting
likes
about
on Instagram.
That.
Yeah. Validation. People seeing. The whole concept, update your status. You know, it's playing on status, social status hierarchies as a form of validation in order to, you know, feel safe. Yeah, that's a massive one.
Well, and it's huge for, I see this in professional sport, you know, when there's these athletes have got thousands and thousands of followers and they want to see what people are saying, they want to see what the press is saying, how they performed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that external validation is also a drug, and you know, the smart massive cultures drug. Really, really cut that out of culture that really helps them be present and comfortable with now, rather than projecting future, projecting image, projecting, and that only damages performance. You play with
100%.
When you look at some of our, you know, certainly the English national team, the choking that happens and the nerves because of the expectation and it all,
the pressure.
Yeah, predicates around this idea. I, as a separate self, have got to do this. I have got to apply my willpower to get a result.
Through
the drug of needing to feel self-validated. But actually, that gets in the way of performance. Because as we've explored on this podcast, getting in the zone is not a state to find. It's actually when we stop seeking, when we don't mind and we become, you know, relaxed and almost intimate and cozy in what is happening now.
Mm.
That's when the flowing performances happen by themselves. The drug of needing reassurance only gets in the way of those performances that, you know, professionals are all capable of when you reach that elite level.
Yeah, completely.
And it's hard. I think sport again is a real invitation. I feel it when I play five a side, I'm competitive. I'm thinking, right, I really want to have a good game. I want to score lots of goals, you know. And I seek in that like a drug. You know, it never comes off for me. Last two games I've had, I've really enjoyed myself simply because I'm starting to call out when I'm applying conscious effort to improve my performance. Because ultimately, applying conscious effort to improve your performance is a resistance to what is, which only blocks and limits your capacity for those free, loving, expansive performances that ultimately mirror our true being and nature that we all kind of want to explore and get back to.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Well, thanks, man. I enjoyed that. Again, it's great talking about sport. Again, practical elements. If we're talking about drugs and sport, know that your well-being is not in any result, shape or form attached to the activity of sport. Know that getting in the zone is the relief of knowing that and experiencing that at a deep level. Also, if you do use drugs in sort of medicinal ways, you know, I just invite you to explore the intention there. Maybe just as a bit of an investigation before you lean on that pain relief substance, whatever it is, try to be in that direct experience of pain for as long as possible before you reach out for it. Explore the true nature of it, the fabric of it, get intimate with it.
So powerful to do.
See where that takes you, and then look at how you hold the desire and the intention to use that substance. And again, all is fine, all is welcome. Have fun exploring.
And if someone was, you know, exploring that intention, are there any questions or maybe a question around that which could help them take it a little bit deeper?
Explain that again. I didn't quite get your question.
Is there in terms of someone exploring their intention around drug use, is there a question help their exploration of their intention?
Can I live with this pain indefinitely?
Mm.
How long for can I live with it? Can I live with it for 5 minutes? You can live with it for 5 minutes, maybe then go, can I live with it for 10 minutes? And then try and see if you can ride that out and go intimately into it. And that will only build resilience anyway. I don't think there's any harm in doing that. And then using the drug to get the relief or practically that you want. But you know, it's a resilience exercise into our immediate experience rather than trying to avoid what is. So ask yourself, can I live with this pain for 5 minutes, and see if you can. And then go, can I live with it for 10 minutes? See if you can increase that and step into that direction, that inward exploration around that immediate experience, and see how that informs and see what behaviors arise from that exploration.
Brilliant. And again, like, if you want to challenge anything we say, you've got questions, you can go to our Anchor page, which is anchor.fm/nonjual-performer, and we'll be happy to receive your audio questions, and we will consider them carefully and work them into the material we talk about.
You know, and I think the key word is challenge, because this, again, reiterating, it's an exploration. This is more of a journey into what we don't know rather than what we do know. Again, summarizing this podcast, I've seen in sport what we know is that well-being isn't in that object. Otherwise, Tyson Fury would have called it a day and he'd just be, you know, sitting in bliss. Or, you know, when athletes break those records, they just be, you know, lying in this sort of nirvana-like exotic state if it effectively was a destination. Yeah. So what we realise that what we're not is are in those objects. Our true nature is not in these things, and that's what we want to keep exploring.
Excellent. All right. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Cheers. Bye. Thanks everybody for tuning into my podcast channel for this episode. Hope to see and hear from you all soon.